You're tuned in to listen to...
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to join the conversation as well. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Giants.com. John Schmell with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Talking Giants football and everything else in the NFL. And the NFL Combine wrapped up yesterday in Indianapolis. The final groups, the cornerbacks and the safeties doing their thing. And you saw Giants defensive backs coach Peter Ginta, you know, make his speech to the prospects. And the same thing he did last year. And he coached them up on the field, which was fun to see. And you'll see that on Giants.com once NFL Films gets that to us. Over the next day or two, it should be up in about 5 minutes on Giants.com. So make sure you check that out on the website. Now, I know a lot of people take the Combine very seriously. I was out there for 3 days. I saw it went on. It was interesting. It's fun. But I just want to echo what Mike Mayock said out at the Combine and really to talk to anybody that analyzes talent and scouts for a living in the NFL. And this is what they'll tell you about the NFL Combine. You don't judge players based on the NFL Combine. You judge these players based on what they put on game tape over the course of the season. That's the first, second, and third thing you look at. You come to conclusions on these players. In fact, grades are in on these players based on how they played in games by the time the Combine starts. In fact, they're in weeks before, a month before even. You know what these guys are in terms of being football players. You know what they do on the field. You know what their strengths and weaknesses are. You know how high of a motor they have. You know their basic athleticism. You know what they're good at. And you know their weaknesses. And those things are all very important when you go to draft these guys. Come May. So you already know a ton about these players once you show up to Indianapolis. And in Indy, what you see these guys do is run their short shuttle drills, their long shuttles, their three cones, their 40-yard dashes, they bench press, they jump. And these things all judge different aspects of a player's performance. The vertical jump and the broad jump, you know, that's explosiveness. The cone and the shuttle run, that's change of direction. The 40-yard dash is straight line speed. And then in terms of the position groups, you have guys do the individual drills based on what position they're in. And those vary from position to position. And what these scouts will do, they'll take the numbers these guys put up at the combine in terms of, you know, the 40-yard dash, how far they broad jump, how high they vertical jump, and they'll see if that matches up with what they already have down for these guys' strengths and weaknesses that they've seen over the course of the season. So, for example, if you watched Sammy Watkins over the course of the season, you said, you know what, this guy runs really good routes, he's fast, he'll beat people in a straight line, he changes direction well, he's very quick. Well, what you're going to do in this combine is you're going to take a look and you're going to say, well, yeah, his 40 time was, you know, 4.47, that's excellent. He is fast, he can run by guys. So the play speed matches what he puts on tape at the combine. He looks really explosive out of his cuts. He can start quick off the line of scrimmage. You know what? That makes sense. Look at his vertical jump. Look at his broad jump. He is explosive. That makes perfect sense. And boy, this guy can really make people miss side to side. He's quick. He's good in the open field. And wow, look, his short shuttle and his three cone drill times are excellent. So what you do is you take what these guys do at the combine, and you see if it matches up with what your impression is of them over the course of the season. And that's how you come to your final conclusion on a lot of these guys. Now, and this is a question I asked a lot of the Giants scouts when we were up in Indianapolis and some of the other people there. What happens when you think something about a player during the regular season? For example, let's say you have a bigger wide receiver, 6'5", and you don't think he's that fast. He uses more his body size. He boxes players out. He runs good routes, and that's how he gets open. Then he shows up at the combine, and he runs a 4.48 or a 4.5 flat, something like that. And you know, then all of a sudden you raise your eyebrows and you say, hold on a second here. Maybe this guy's better than I thought. Maybe he is faster than I thought. Or maybe he just runs a lot faster in shorts and a T-shirt than he runs in pads. And that's something else that's difficult to tell at the combine, whether or not these guys are a different player once the pads and the helmet goes on. Are they willing to run full speed in their routes when there might be a safety there ready to take their head off in the secondary and blow them up? That's another thing that makes the combine difficult to judge when it comes to game performance. Game speed, shorts, T-shirt speed, different things. Or another guy, like Luke, the kid out of Pittsburgh, the Donald kid on the defensive line. Is he explosive enough? Well, his broad jump and vertical jump were off the charts. So those questions have now been pushed aside. And heck, he might have been pushed ahead of Jernigan now in that defensive tackle ratings. He might be ahead of Jernigan now because of a good combine, because he addressed some of the weaknesses he had during the season and showed in the combine, based on what he did in these drills, heck, maybe he is explosive enough. Maybe he is quick enough side to side, despite his lack of height and short arms to make it in the NFL. I saw somebody on Twitter the other day comparing him to John Randall. Clearly high praise, and that was from a scout, if I recall. So that's what makes the combine useful, and that's what makes it a little bit difficult. If it confirms what you already thought, great. And I think that's the goal here for most teams. You have an idea of what these guys are, and the combine says, all right, we were right. You run into problems when you have a conclusion on a guy, and then all of a sudden the combine's like, uh-oh, maybe we weren't right. Why is he running a 4.5 at the combine when we thought he was slow on the field? Why is he bench pressing 29 times at 225 pounds when we didn't think he played with a lot of strength on the line? How come this offensive lineman, you know, looked longer and played like he had longer arms when, you know, he got measured and he had short arms at the combine? You know, things like that. That's when it gets a little bit tough. But the one real useful thing about the combine is it's a good way to judge some of the small school guys and compare them to the bigger school guys side by side doing the same exact thing. So if you have a kid who had a lot of success at a Division II school, even, you had that Jeff Janis kid, ran a 4.42 in the 40 at wide receiver. The kid out of Pittsburgh State, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, ran a 4.38. He was the second fastest 40 time at the combine among wide receivers. And you say, well, you know what? Maybe we have a sleeper here. So when that kid might have been a seventh-round pick before, now maybe you say, hey, maybe we can pick him in the fourth round since he has all this speed. He has some upside. And you can see whether or not the production these small school kids had against lesser competition can be maintained when they play better players. And a lot of that has to do with raw athleticism. Do they have the athleticism to step up in competition and go out there and go up against who were the best Division I athletes in the world and now are NFL athletes when this kid was playing in Division II or a low-end Division I program? And that's where the combine, I think, is useful. It allows you to find those mid to late round diamonds in a rough that you might roll some dice on. Now, you're not going to say, well, this kid ran the second fastest 40 time. We're picking him in round one or two. No, you're not the Oakland Raiders, or at least what the Oakland Raiders used to be. But you might pick him in the middle rounds as a sleeper. And to give you an example, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. A player that worked with was a guy like, let's say, Kevin Boss, who went to a small school. And he had good measurables. Giants took him, and it worked out. Adrian Robinson, a guy, so far, not so much. Michael Cox, another guy. He had very few carries in college, but they liked what they saw in his 40 time. his combine skills, back and forth, raw athleticism, boom, you give him a shot. Situations like that. So we could talk about the combine, what you learned from the combine, what you thought was interesting from the combine, what you think the Giants should do with their draft in general, though again, I think going after individual players right now is a little bit tough since we don't know what's going to happen in free agency. So if you want to focus on free agency, that's fine too. And a programming reminder tomorrow, Pete DeMilitis from Pro Football Focus will be joining us for the entire show. You guys have seen their grades online being posted by other people in the media. And we'll talk about how they get those grades. And we'll talk about how he's graded out some of these Giants, the guys that are going to be free agents. And then we'll take a look at some of the free agents at certain positions the Giants have of need so they can see who might be available to improve their team at those spots. That'll be tomorrow. Make sure you check it out on Giants.com at 9:30. 201-939-4513. And, of course, check out that interview I do with Mike Garofolo as well, which got put up late yesterday. And I thought it was very good insight as to how the NFL free agency process works and how some of the work actually gets done at the combine. And now, thank goodness, you know, February is a short month, so it's going to be over in a couple of days here. Here's the good thing about that. That means teams can start negotiating with other teams' free agents in just over a week. Finally! It's coming, folks. It's getting here. We're getting close. And then on the 11th, obviously, teams can sign players from other teams. And over the next 7 to 8 days, you know, if the Giants want to do something with their own free agents and re-sign people, extend them, they can do that. More importantly, the Giants, to get under the cap, will have to, you know, restructure some of these contracts to figure out where their salary number is at. I actually think they're under the cap now, just barely. But if they want to create more space, they will have to cut some of those guys back and figure things out. All those things we could talk about here on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's start on the phones and go to Ed in Surf City. Ed, good morning. How you doing, pal?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ed. What's on your mind today?
I have a question for you.
Sure.
In 05, Ernie, of course, he had one of the best off seasons in his Giants tenure.
Okay.
With free agency and the draft. Will Jerry Reese need to have a similar type of offseason?
I've said multiple times this offseason, Ed, and I'll stand by it. This is probably the most important Giants offseason since they drafted Eli Manning. And this team needs a lot of help. I think they were worse than what their record actually said last year. We've talked about all the holes. You need a wide receiver. You need a tight end. You need a running back. You need a minimum of two offensive linemen, maybe even three. You need a starting cornerback. You need another starting linebacker or two. And that's not even talking about the guys that are free agents on the roster that you have to worry about replacing. So Jerry Reese not only has to do a good job in the draft, his pro personnel staff has to do a good job of finding not only the big money guys, but also mid-level and low-level guys that they believe can fit what the Giants do here and be effective players. So, in short, and I probably should have started with this, the answer is yes. If the Giants want to be back in the playoffs next year, if they want to win the division, Jerry Reese is going to have an excellent, excellent offseason.
Yeah, I agree. If it wasn't for Will Hill returning pick sixes, this team would have been you can't count on your defense to tie up games at the end. So I agree.
Hey, look, no question. And look, I think you got to worry about the defense a little bit too. They've had most of their success against teams that did not have a great quarterback situation. Now, they certainly played well later in the year. I get that. But to me, this defense last year wasn't a, you know, dominant top five defense. To me, they were a good, solid defense that probably, you know, is around, you know, 10 to 12, something like that over the course of an entire season. But the offense is a mess. And if you want to bring back, and here's what the issue the Giants are going to run into, Ed. You know, they got all these free agents on defense. Terrell Thomas, Tremaine McBride, Linval Joseph, Justin Tuck, John Beeson. If they want to bring back a lot of those guys, I don't know how they're going to find the money to repair an offense, to quote Giants owner and CEO John Mara, that was broken last year. So they're going to have to get creative and figure out how to fit all these pieces in under their salary cap constraints.
Yeah, I think the Giants as a team, touchdowns that weren't given up by the defense. The total, I think, was 9.
It was a lot, yes.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, you're right. I think the number was 9. It might even have been more than that. And then Bob Papa had the stat all year. I'll have to get it from him. But there was something like 12 to 15 scoring drive that started inside the Giants' own 30-yard line. And that comes back to the turnover issues, and that comes back to the broken offense, which did hurt the defense over the course of the year. No question about it. So that's how I see it. I think you have to make sure you have resources here to address the offense. And that's why I don't think you can afford to bring back a guy like Linval Joseph that's going to be looking to cash in. That's why you're not going to be able to, you know, do everything you would like to do in re-signing these guys. I think Beeson you can get back. You know, he's representing himself. I think that's a huge wild card. Who knows how that's going to go? I think you can get Justin Tuck back at a reasonable number, and he's such a good run defender. I think that's a much more important than other people might think. Now, you can mitigate that loss by, say, putting Cullen Jenkins at end, and I guess you could start Patterson if you bring him back and Hankins at tackle. But then I think you lose some of your pass rushing punch. Jenkins is a much better pass rusher at tackle to me than he is at end. He doesn't have that quickness and speed to be as effective as a pass rusher off the edge. So you got to save money for offense here, folks, because there are a lot of holes, and you got to do well in free agency. And boy, you got to get at least 2 starters in the draft. With the depth of this year's draft and the talent, you better get 2 starters. And I don't mean 2 starters in year one. You better get 4 starters over the course of their careers. That's what I'm looking for. 2 right away, 4 to 5 total. Am I being greedy? Yes. Do the Giants need that? I think the answer, unfortunately, is also yes. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
I got a question for you. Were the Giants signing Sidney Rice? The Seahawks had released him after 2 seasons.
Yeah, you know what, Tim? And I realize Sidney Rice has a lot of the height, weight, and speed stuff that teams like, but he's just never been a guy that's put it all together. So if the Giants want to, you know, pick him up at a really low number to be that speed down the field guy and kind of replace Lewis Murphy Jr., I guess I'd be okay with that. But I'd rather have a multidimensional guy like a Ted Ginn, like a Jacoby Jones, that can do that, but at the same time, help out on special teams, return kicks, return punts, and maybe give the Giants a weapon in that regard. So I think it's an option you can look at, but to me, Sidney Rice is that third stage of free agency guy, the guy that's sitting there looking for a team in May, and you say, all right, now he's willing to take a salary that his skill and value is commensurate with, and that's when you sign him. That's not a guy you sign early in free agency. Tim, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to your Twitter comments and questions in just a second. We have some open lines if you want to chime in on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's going on?
Good morning there, John. I was just curious. Say everything goes as precise as you think. Like, say we sign Beeson and Jerry signs 2 offensive linemen here before the draft.
Okay.
And then we come up to the draft, and we have them 5 players available, like you said. The draft went as normal, everybody thought. And we have them 5 players, and they're pretty well equal in their positions. How would you rate it, like, say, tackle, tight end, receiver, linebacker?
Well, Joe, let me ask you this. Of the 2 offensive linemen the Giants signed, is one of them a Pro Bowl caliber lineman, or are we talking about just 2 guys that are solid?
Well, let's say solid.
Okay. If they're just 2 solid guys and you sign 2, and let's say you bring back Booth for the 3rd, if Snee returns, boy,
now,
you know.
First, let me ask you, do you think that's what will happen first? The Giants, that's what I'm trying to get at. Do you think they'll sign a solid, or you think they'll get that big offensive lineman first, you know, say
I think, Joe, they'll try to get a big-time offensive lineman, but apparently it seems as though Alex Mack might even get re-signed before free agency starts. The Browns are so anxious to get him back in the mix. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to sign a top guy. I think they're going to try. But I do believe they'll bring in, if they don't bring in a top guy, they'll probably bring in two solid guys like a Dietrich Smith,
That's what I'm saying. I'm just going with that. What everybody thinks will happen.
Right.
So
okay.
We signed two solid guys, and we signed Beeson. Then you come to the draft, and you have like you said, everything played out, and these guys are here. You know who you thought you named yesterday.
You know, that's
in
a great
order. Would the Giants go tackle, tight end, linebacker, receiver? Who else am I missing? Quarterback. Which ones do you think would be more helpful to the Giants there, right off the bat?
You know, that's a great question. That's a great question, Joe. Who would I go with in that spot if you get the two solid offensive linemen in the draft? Oh, boy. You're putting me on the spot here. Let me put it this way.
That's what I mean. And then Michael throw running back in there, too. And that's the way you said it and the way it all plans.
No, I hear you.
Planned out. You know what I mean? That
no,
will happen.
Yep, I know exactly what you're saying. All right, here's what I'll definitely tell you I know. I would put linebacker as the least important of the group. I would probably put that at 5. Oh, boy. I reserve the right to change my mind on this, by the way. But I'm putting linebacker at 5 right now. At 4, I'll put wide receiver. At 3, I'll put... Oh, boy. At 3, I'll put offensive line. At 2, I'll put tight end. At 1, I'll put corner.
Yeah, to me, it's a toss-up cornerback, tackle, and even tight end.
I agree. I think it's very tough.
You know, so, one way else to look at it there is what's going off the board. Let's see if it goes normal. See, you can't even tell. If it all goes normal, you can't tell. Like, say that tight end from Notre Dame would be available in the
second round. Yeah.
You know, you won't be able to tell till, you know what I mean, you have to make your pick, you know, before that. So it's going to be tough.
Nah, Joe, I agree. But here's the good thing, though. It's a good kind of tough. You know you're going to get a good player no matter who you pick. So I'd much rather be in that situation than sitting there praying for that one or two guys to drop to you so you can get a guy you think is on that top tier.
Yeah, I still think I would take either that cornerback or that tight end. I want somebody that's going to – because I think the offensive line will be able to work out with what we have. And that cornerback could really, you know, just keep us in the game and play the games tough without the turnovers. So,
all right, appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Boy, Joe put me on
this. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Joe put me on the spot there. Joe made me think on this Wednesday morning. It's a good question. Salmon, I want your answer by the end of the show, how you would order those 5 guys. All right? I mean, Ebron, Gilbert, and Luan are really... I like Mike Evans, too. Boy. I got 3 months? 2.5 months to the draft? All right. I'm not pulling a Dottino on Twitter here and committing to anything in February. So don't try to get me to do that. Give me some time to figure things out as we get through free agency here. But early on, those are my 5. And, you know, I bet you 2 of them are going to be off the board. Out of those 5. Maybe even 3. That'd be my bet. 2 or 3 of those guys will be gone by the time the Giants pick there at 12. So you'll be somewhat limited in your options. You know, Gilbert ran a 4.35. I think there's a decent chance he's gone. I've seen, you know, we'll see what Ebron does at his pro day. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where he's off the board by then. Would I be blown away and shocked that 3 terrific offensive tackles are all off the board by 12? No, I wouldn't be shocked. I do think Mosley will be there. I do think Evans will be there. That's my gut feeling on that. The other 3 guys, we'll see. And, you know, the funny thing about it, everyone keeps saying there's a big quarterback draft early. I don't know. Something tells me this might be a weird draft where everyone expects the quarterbacks to go, and then everyone quickly falls in love with these guys at other positions because they're so skilled at it. And, you know, if you just grade these guys, I think most of the guys I'm talking about are probably better players at their positions than quarterback. It's just that quarterback is such an important position and a position of need that they'll go higher. And it depends how these GMs formulate their list and whether or not they fall in love with having to get that quarterback this year in Jacksonville, in Cleveland, in Minnesota, in Houston, Jacksonville. So that's stuff people are going to have to figure out. 201-939-4513. Ryan's in Virginia. Ryan, what's going on, pal?
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Ryan. What's up, bud?
All right, great. It's actually Brian with a B.
Brian. What's up?
That's okay. I got two questions for you. When do you start looking for Eli? And this could be looking too far in the future, but when do you start looking for Eli's heir apparent or replacement? And do you think Ryan Nassib is really that guy?
I don't know if Ryan Nassib's that guy. I did not see enough from him in year number one, even just in practice and in training camp, to say he is that guy or is going to be that guy. I think he'll have an opportunity this offseason to win that backup quarterback job. Here's my thing. I don't think, Brian, that the Giants, rather, are going to carry three quarterbacks again this year. So Nassib's either going to win the backup job and be the number two, or he's not going to be on the roster, which would be terrible considering you used a fourth-round pick on him and you traded up to get him. But that's just my gut feeling. I don't think Tom Coughlin, after last year wasting so many roster spots, I don't think he's going to want to do that again this year. In terms of Eli, when you have to start looking ahead, it depends whether or not they extend them this year. I mean, if they give him an extension this year and you give him a 3 or 4, even 5-year extension, you don't have to worry about his replacement another 3 seasons.
You think it would be that long?
I believe his extension would probably be somewhere in the 5-year range, yes.
Okay, I got you.
So honestly, I think you have some time there.
You do. Okay, this is the first time I've seen him get hurt. It kind of made me nervous as a Giants fan.
No, I hear you. And you know what? I think you have to be worried about his performance, too, and hope he has a bounce-back year this year. See, I wouldn't extend him this year. I would wait a year and see, you know, what he does. And quite frankly, not to get too dark and try to freak out Giant fans here, Brian, but if Eli has another really bad year this year, I think that would accelerate that timetable an awful lot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do have a second question
for
you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What teams do you see looking at Hakeem Nicks seriously?
That's a good question. There are a lot of teams with cap space out there. One team that jumps out at me, a lot of people have said Carolina, because they need another wide receiver. They had to go with Steve Smith, who isn't getting any younger. He's from Carolina. Dave Gettleman was with the Giants, and obviously they think there'd be some mutual interest. I don't think that's going to happen. I think, and honestly, just because this is what this team tends to do, I could totally see the Washington Redskins signing Hakeem Nicks. That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, I've heard other fans talk about that. You know, are you guys looking at Nicks? Just a couple, and nobody. And this is only limited, experience with it. But nobody seems to be looking at him as far as what other fan bases are. Seem to be saying.
Well, Brian, I'll say this. As Jerry Reese said at the Combine, there are 3 stages of free agency. You got stage one, where people go and overpay for the guys they really want. Then you have the middle-level guys in stage two. Then you have the guys that are left by the wayside in stage three. To me, Nicks is not going to be a level one guy, since he didn't have a good enough season the last couple years. I think he's going to be a level two guy that'll probably get signed somewhere near the end of March, beginning of April, something like that.
So do you think at level two or even level three, if he gets that far, he becomes worth a look back for the Giants?
I think if he gets to level three, he does. I think at level two, he's probably still a little too expensive, since he'll get probably $6 or $7 million a year. Those level one guys will, get your $10-11 million a year contracts. I think Nicks will land somewhere around 6 or 7, and I still think that's too rich for the Giants.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, John. I appreciate it.
Hey, Brian, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. You too. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on our phones and say what's up to Alex in Los Angeles. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Alex?
How are you?
I'm doing great. You're up early today in L.A.
Yeah. I have a question about who the Giants will take in the draft. I think they may go with a cornerback, but I just don't know if they'll... Or if they're more interested in Justin Gilbert or Dekeyes Denard, who has a better value?
Well, both guys can play, and if you wind up with either one, I think you're going to be in pretty good shape at corner. I happen to like Gilbert a little more than Denard. I think he's a little bit of a better player. I think he'll be off the board first, but there's a good chance that Gilbert might get picked before the Giants even selected 12, which means it might be Denard or it might be no one. So I think the Giants would be happy with either guy. But I'm not sure, in my opinion, if Denard matches up against those other positions at 12, considering his talent level. I've looked more into Gilbert than I have on Denard. I know people really like him, but I like Gilbert a little bit more.
Okay, and which one do you think will top off Prince Amukamara more because of the fact that he's improving and he may be the Giants' number one cornerback next year?
Well, I think the Giants would, if Prince is not the Giants' number one cornerback next year, something has either gone horribly wrong or somebody else has really gotten better in the offseason. But honestly, I don't think you need a certain skill set to play across from Prince. I think you're looking for a guy with some height, with some strength, with some size to complement him. But, you know, Denard and Gilbert, there really isn't that much different there in their measurables. So I think either guy would complement Prince just fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guy? How's it going,
buddy? I'm doing well, Steve. What's up?
Listen, you know, as far as the free agency, all I really care about is bringing LeJuan in, man. I love what I'm seeing of the dude. I love his text that he sent out. It was pretty funny, too. His Twitter. He sent out a Twitter yesterday saying it's official that he's finally 22, lived at home with his mom. I thought it was pretty funny. But I like his character. I like his drive. I like everything I see on him. And most importantly, I just like the idea of protecting Eli because, as you know, first of all, I just don't think we're getting the value out of that position right now. And I hope that changes, you know. And I just want to know, you know, if you think we may possibly restructure his contract as opposed to extended at this point?
I still think it's a wait-and-see scenario, though I will say this, depending on how free agency goes, if the Giants find that in order to be competitive this year, they have to go out there and free up more money by extending Eli to sign some free agents, I do not believe the people in this building have any doubts as to Eli Manning's ability to sustain a high level of play over the next 4 to 5 years. So if it gets to the point where they need money desperately, I think it's something that they'll visit.
Okay, well, I agree with that. Well, you know, John, boosting up the offensive line has to be a priority. I mean, clearly that's, you know, I was our Achilles heel last year. So, I mean, why wouldn't we go after, you know, an offensive lineman if not in free agency, you know, in the draft? You know, I just doesn't seem like, I know we need other pieces, but to me, that seems like the most pressing piece.
Of course, and I think that's going to be the 1A on their list of things to do, Steve. I don't think there's any doubt about it based on everything the coach, the general manager, and the owner. They all said the offensive line was a big problem and had to get fixed, so I don't see why these guys wouldn't make that the first priority this offseason.
Yeah, okay. Well, what about running back? You think of free agency? Because I really, there's only a couple, you know, free agents, but I'm not seeing anything in the draft that really fits, you know, our scheme. Do you see anything that may work in the draft?
Well, I mean, I don't think we know what the Giants' running scheme is going to be yet, for one, because of the addition of McAdoo, and the Packers have done a lot of different things. They've done, you know, man blocking. They've done the zone blocking. They've done the stretch. They've done all those things. So I don't know what McAdoo's bringing here. So I can't tell you whether or not somebody in the draft, you know, matches what the Giants need. What I will say is this. I wouldn't trust to drafting a guy and making him my every down back, only because so many times these running backs coming out of college, you know, don't know how to pass protect. They don't know how to catch out of the backfield, and they're missing some of those qualities. Now, if you can find a guy like Doug Martin, for example, that did all that in college and will be ready to do it on the pro level, that's great. I'll take the shot on him. That's fine. But as you said, there aren't as many high-end talents at that position as we've had in years prior. That doesn't mean you can't find someone to start and get 15 carries, but I think the better match for the Giants at running back is in free agency. And again, I'm a big Rashad Jennings fan, but that's just right.
Well, I'm just assuming that it's going to be a lot of Tom Coughlin's offense. You know, I just don't think, you know, I think it's going to be pretty much snap and off and, you know, get the ball vertical, you know, like you said. So I don't expect it to be too many changes as far as, you know, running game. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but, you know, I just don't think, you know, it's going to be a lot of change. But anyway, you know, I appreciate you taking my call. And, you know, if you could talk about real quick on some people, you know, I have a whole list. I'm not going to bother going over people I think we should cut. You know, but clearly I want to talk about two people whose contracts either we need to cut them or restructure. And I'll listen up here, and that's Chris Lee and David Boff and D.C. Mark Carter's extending on the roster.
All right,
and,
thanks, Dave.
That's all I got for today, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You too, bud. We have one of our Twitter followers, by the way, Pinky Ring. Very disappointed Steve did not use his "somebody stole my thunder" line today, which I thought was funny. By the way, some news. Thanks to my man James Smith on Twitter for pointing this out to me. The Eagles have signed Jason Peters to a contract extension. 4 years worth $41.3 million, meaning the money remaining on his contract is 5 years, $51 million. And $19.5 million of that is guaranteed. So the Giants still dealing with a lot of excellent left tackles in the NFC East, and Jason Pierre-Paul as well. So that coming down, and that's just one of the dominoes that are going to fall here, folks. It really is. A lot of these type of deals are going to start happening now with the combine being over. As for the Giants offensive linemen that they're going to have to do some moves on, and that, of course, is David Boss and Chris Snee. Look, the Giants are going to have to pay Chris Snee regardless, all right? $4.5 million is going to him, whether they cut him, he retires, or whatever. Now, his base salary is another story. He is a $7 million or so base salary, and they're going to have to get that number down. I think they'll renegotiate it, get it down to about a veteran's minimum, league minimum, you know, something like that, maybe $1 million, $1.5 million, and they'll give Snee a chance to earn a roster spot, play, and start. But I don't think, considering his health the last couple years, you can afford to not have a backup plan, not in mind, but in place in case he can't go. You need to find a starter to replace Chris Snee, even if Chris Snee's still on the roster. And frankly, I think it's the same thing for David Boss. You can designate him a June 1st cut, save around $3.5 million. You cut him earlier than that, you only save around, I think, like $1.5 million or $2 million. I can look at my sheet that I have on my computer here. But the Giants will have to really consider what they're going to do on both guys. They will save money on Snee's contract, but Boss's contract is structured where if you cut him this year, you don't save that much cap room in this season. You'd have to designate him a June 1st, and you can't spend that money until after June 1st, which lessens the impact. So their options on David Boss aren't great. They might let him stick around, rehab, and see if he can give him something. But again, you can't depend on him to be a starter. He simply hasn't been healthy enough the last couple years. The team will have to plan to replace him, even if he's here, due to his injury problems. And I know that's tough to say, but... And David Boss is a hell of a player when he's healthy. But that's something the Giants are going to have to prepare for. 201-939-4513. I'm going to go through some of these tweets we have here. David Goodman, cute kid caller, can't be more than 10 years old. I will go with that. I think he was probably around 10 or 12. Alex in L.A., good to hear from him. Appreciate it. James Smith, you can find starting O linemen in round 4 or round 3. You can't say that for tight end, DB, or linebacker. That's why you pick one of those in the first round. And Bone Marrow Blue, I haven't heard from in quite a while, agrees. Since there's more quality at the offensive line position, why don't you pick that in round 2 or 3? You can find a starter and then take a corner or a tight end or wide receiver in round 1. And you know what? I get that. NFL Gents reading Bleacher Report post mock draft, which I've not looked at yet. I'm assuming a lot of new mock drafts will come out this week with the combine being over. Who do I like? Ely, a defensive end, Lewin, offensive tackle, or Gilbert, cornerback? I think you go Lewin, Lewan rather, or Gilbert in that spot. Let's go back to our phones in the meanwhile at 201-939-4513. And say hello to Frank down in Tampa Bay. What's up, Frank?
Hi, John. Welcome back. We missed you.
Hey, Frank. I miss hearing from you. What's going on?
Well, I had actually three things I'd like to discuss briefly, get your opinion on. And they all sort of dovetail back to Jerry Reese. And so maybe I can start with the first. I got a chill up my spine and a vision of Mark Hertz like starting on opening day at middle linebacker, because all the talk that I've heard over the past, 3 months or more about Beeson there's always been this haunting thought in the back of my mind, and I think you may even remember we talked a few weeks back, and I had brought up, you know, why it didn't seem like some attempt was made once it started to realize that Beeson may be our answer, and some attempt wasn't to try to, you know, get him signed during the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we both, you know, understand the ramifications and the pros and cons, but, you know, it just seemed to me that an effort surely needed to be made, because with their knowledge and access, you know, of who's available, who's going to be available in free agency, who's going to be available in the draft, and the fact that in the draft, you know, trying to get somebody to come in and run our defense at middle linebacker, having never set foot on an NFL field, is asking way more than, you know, than I think we could ever ask. And so when I heard you the other day actually sort of freeze when you were asked a question that's been haunting me, which is, what if we can't re-sign Beeson? What are we going to do? And when you said, I don't know, which is exactly what I've been thinking, first of all, we've been placed in a position where he can hold us hostage and basically break the bank and, you know, and ruin the rest of our offseason, you know, monetarily, if he decides to put a gun to our head.
Right.
His agent knows this much better than we do. And so,
well, Frank, very quickly, just keep this in mind. And Mike Garofolo told me this in the combine, and frankly, I had forgotten about it. But once he said it, I remember. John Beeson right now doesn't have an agent. Right now, he's negotiating his own contracts. So that adds another level of unpredictability to this whole situation.
Well, that's what I mean. But I don't know, you know, I mean, for us to be placed in this position, you know, I don't know why, you know, some attempt wasn't made by Reese to try to get this done with a compromise, especially, and I don't want to beat up, you know, the old stuff that I talk about, but, you know, with his injury history, with the fact that he was on the bench in Carolina and his whole career looked like it was heading south, it just seems to me like, you know, once they realized this guy could be our answer, that something could have been done. But once again, you know, when you've had a little more time at the draft and all to digest it, you know, do you have an answer? If he doesn't sign with us, what are we going to do?
Hey, look, C.J. Mosley's the guy in the first round that played middle linebacker. I think he's a little small for that position in the NFL,
but he's a guy
that I think you could go there. There are a couple other guys. What is
day
it? What,
one?
I mean,
but
look.
Starting and running our offense on day one?
Look, if you're picking someone 12th in the draft, they better be ready to start and run your defense on in week one.
Boy, it's frightening to me. But and then my second point kind of, you know, dovetails right with that. I'm just wondering, you know, what if, because, you know, you always bring up such wonderful points. And when you said, you know, which nobody seems to have really discussed, what if Eli does stink up the joint, you know, this year? We get a good offensive line. We get another decent receiver. And he still stinks up the joint. I mean, what, you know, and now all of a sudden it is, wait a minute, is this, you know, he is what he is. And now, you know, what would we do? I mean, would allow him to play out his contract? I mean, do we not re-sign him? Obviously, you know, there's 10, 15 teams out there that don't have a quarterback that would jump on him. I mean, what could you envision happening if, in fact, you know, he's terrible?
That's a great question, and I think it's going to be a very delicate situation for the Giants to handle, and it's going to be one of the biggest decisions that will affect the future of this franchise. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't think the Giants know what they would do right now. They probably have some ideas, but until you see exactly how it plays out, I think it's something that's pretty difficult to plan for, to be quite honest with you.
I do, too. And the, but again, you know, if Nassib isn't the answer, and I sort of doubt that it is, you know, I mean, Eli'd be still in a position where he could, you know, he could command $20 million, though, even if he stunk, just by the fact that there's 15 other teams, one of those teams is going to be willing to pony it up, you know. So we'd be in a position where we'd basically have to, you know, in these situations, the teams really have no bargaining power. Just like with, you know, Chicago or Baltimore, you stay there for 10 minutes and you say, we're going to play hardball. And then you look around and you go, how can we play hardball with a softball, you know, bat? I mean, you can't. And so you end up paying someone basically the exact same amount of money if he's the top level guy, if he stinks or he doesn't. You know, you got to give him the $20 million or he's going to walk.
Yeah.
You know, there's basically not a difference in having a great season and a bad if you're a free agent at that position.
You're right, because I promise you, you know, like Jay Cutler last year, the Jaguars went out there and paid Jay Cutler $15, $17 million a year, so the Bears are really put in a tough spot.
Exactly. And so, you know, whether he has a good season or not, his agent is still going to want the same amount of money, you know, that that he would have gotten in any event. And, so I don't know what we do. And so that just goes into my last third quick point, which is all of these things tell me that, you know, Jerry Reese, I don't know sometimes what to make of him, but he's either, you know, the most diabolical genius who thinks so far ahead of all of us that we can't even divine his purpose. And so we just, you know, like with the good Lord, we just say he moves in mysterious ways and we accept it, because the situation that he's put us in, when you were going through this morning, you know, the holes that we need to fill, the players that we have to somehow re-sign or to, you know, to let go, the decisions that need to be made. If he can fix this, and I don't mean in 3 years, you know, if he can fix this so, you know, we're playoff bound and on our way this year, he is an absolute genius. But if he can't, you know, and I've never called for anyone's job, but I think he has to go. He's put us in what to me is just an untenable position, which would require a mad genius to fix it. So that's why I'm pretty anxious to see what he's going to do. But for the life of me, I'm having a lot of trouble figuring out how he's going to do it.
Appreciate the call, Frank.
Thank you.
And he has a big offseason ahead of him, no doubt about it. All right, folks, I got to get off at 10:30 today, so I got three calls on the line. I'll take all three, and then we're going to say goodbye. Let's go to Stephanie in Maryland first. Stephanie, good morning.
Soon to be relocating to West Virginia. How you doing? I don't call here much. I've been working at night, and I'm about to move. I want to talk about the tight ends and the draft, because I addressed this issue last year that we needed to draft the tight end, because I thought Myers would not be able to perform well.
And you were right.
Like, yo.
And you were right.
I don't want to disappoint Giants fans, but I'm looking at the draft order right now. I see three teams that's in need of a tight end. And Atlanta Falcons, I can't fathom that they will not take a tight end in round one because they lost Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Stephanie, one thing, though, the Falcons' defense was awful last year. So they might have to take a defensive player there to shore up that side of the ball. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's true. You can, this draft, you can get a quality defensive player in round two or three.
True.
And I looked at that kid. That kid in the NFC South tight end, he will fit in great. I'm just saying, Giants fans, don't get disappointed if either the Falcons, the Buccaneers, or the Raiders might take Eric Ebron.
That's
in
true.
Round. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised, because the Raiders took Darius Haywood Bay from us, and we wind up getting Hakeem Nicks. And they took one of them linebackers from us.
McClain?
McClain,
yeah.
Exactly. I'm high on, I agree with Lynn from Maryland, I'm high on Troy Nicholas. I'm very high on Austin Seferian Jr. You know, the tight end from Washington State. He's a blocker and he's a pass catcher. We need a tight end that can take away half of that offense. And two, I would like an ideal draft, round two if they're there. I would like one of those big 6'5" receivers. I figured Mike Evans would go in round one. I would take the guy from Florida State. You know, Calvin Benjamin.
Yep.
You know, big physical guy like that. Round three, I'll either go with Anthony Barr or a running back like Todd Gurley. But offensive lineman, I'll say Llewellyn or Greg Ross if they go that way round one or round two. Now, the reason why I say that, there will be a quarterback. Some of these teams, like I said, the Raiders, the Raiders, Falcons, maybe even the Buccaneers, they may take a tight end because, or a receiver, because A.J. McCarron is projected to go to round two, and he's going to be in there. And I know you don't want to hit it, but I'm going to make a clear-cut case with Hakeem Nicks before I get off the phone.
All right, go for it.
Hakeem Nicks, in the 2009 wide receiver draft class, only produced two Super Bowl-winning receivers. That's Percy Harvin and Hakeem Nicks. And as Giants fans, we could have got stuck with Derek Haywood. Bay, who to me is a bust. Crabtree really hasn't done much of anything. Two, when he's from North Carolina, he grew up on Steve Smith. When Steve Smith had down years in Carolina, the Panthers did not give up on him. Three, I have a feeling if we let Hakeem Nicks go to the market, the free agency, Victor Cruz is not going to look like Victor Cruz. So we need to get an outside tight end that can take out half the offense, another big physical threat receiver. So Victor Cruz and Nicks, so we can continue having Cruz and Nicks. So we don't have Nicks, like I said, replacing like Calvin Benjamin or Mike Evans. Why even take that guy from Penn State, Allen Robinson?
Yeah, big kid, 6'2", 220.
Yeah, somebody big. Somebody who can take away hands off it. And a blocking fullback in the fourth or fifth round. Again, you know. You get this offer. We are the New York Giants. We're not the 49ers. We're not the Seahawks. We're not the Cowboys. We need to look like the New York Giants. And defense, I think you can find. Anthony Barr from UCLA.
Well,
I know Mac is doing it.
Well, I mean, Mac and Anthony Barr are probably gone in the top 10, to be honest with you, Stephanie. Thanks for the call, though.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Good stuff out of Stephanie. But Anthony Barr, obviously, will be long gone by the third round. But otherwise, look, it's hard for me to argue trying to restock these skill positions here, considering how the Giants' passing game went last year. If you want to bring in a big playmaker at wide receiver and tight end, it's hard for me to argue it's a bad idea. Now, you have to address the offensive line then, and free agency. If you want to spend two of your first three picks on skill position guys, you better spend your money in free agency in the offensive line. That's a must. But look, I think Evans, Ebron, I think Nicholas is a good guy. I think if you don't pick a wide receiver in round one, if Kelvin Benjamin falls to round two, which I'm not sure if he will, that's a possibility. And also, Martavis Bryant out of Clemson, who's a big guy, 6'4", 211, he's a guy that ran a lot better than people thought at the combine as well. So I think that's another possible option if the Giants want to wait till round two or maybe even round three for a wide receiver. Very, very deep wide receiver class here, folks. You can get one if you don't pick one in the first round. 201-939-4513. Jim is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Jim, what's up, buddy?
Hi, Johnny. I really enjoy your show. Glad you're back. I really enjoy listening to the callers talk about the draft. I think the what's going to go down is that the Giants will pick the highest-rated player regardless, pretty much, of position. I don't think they'll take a quarterback.
Right.
And I really don't think they'll take a tackle 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Jerry Reese has never been a pick an offensive line in the first round type of guy. And part of me would also be surprised if they took a tackle 2 years in a row. I don't disagree with that.
Right. So, I mean, you're looking – I think we're in a good position to get a good corner. You know, Gilbert or Denard are excellent, I think. And, you know, we might be able to get a linebacker there. But I think if Mike Evans falls in our lap, he'd be an excellent pick. He's like another Plaxico.
Yeah, look, I think a guy with size at wide receiver, or frankly, a really tall guy that can get down the field at tight end, is exactly the type of reliable option that Eli needs.
Right. I definitely won't get a tight end in the draft. We got four on the roster right now. And Jerry's not going to give up on that Robinson kid. You know that. He's going to play the hell out of him, so he's going to prove him that he can't play.
I think A.J. Robinson will be given every chance to get on the field, but he's going to have to earn his way. It's not going to be handed to him. And so far,
right,
he has not done enough to show that, frankly, he deserves to play.
Right. I agree with you. But actually, he's bigger than that Ebron kid. He's a little heavier, same height, and he's 20 pounds heavier.
Correct,
and
but I'm not. But
he's experienced.
Yeah, but I don't think – here's the funny thing. If you combine all of Adrian Robinson's college – receptions and combine them with all his NFL receptions, I don't think he has many catches as Ebron had in 1 year at North Carolina last year.
Yeah, I know. That's hard to argue that. Yeah. That's why we got coaches. You know, that's why these guys get on the roster, because we got all these scouts that are supposedly experts at evaluating talent, and there's a reason why they get on the roster. There's a reason why they're getting paid, and And you would think that these guys would be more prepared to step in and produce than some kid that's, you know, just out of college.
Hey, look, and whenever you rely on somebody out of the draft to start for you, you sometimes have to worry about whether or not they're able to step in right away and do the job. But you're picking 12th in the first round. That guy better be able to do it. But that is one of the reasons I like an offensive lineman in free agency, because I want to put veterans around some of these young guys so you don't have a lot of mistakes to start the season, and you got Eli on his back the first 4 weeks.
Exactly. It's pretty hard to have as many young guys, like you're saying, on that line because – you know, Eli's not going to last very long if that's the case. You know, you'll be seeing a lot of Curtis Painter and Nassib and whoever else you got.
Correct. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks, buddy. Always good to hear from you. 201-939-4513. Antonio in New York will wrap up the show today. Antonio, what's up?
What's up? How you doing, man? How's everything?
Doing well, Antonio. Good to hear from you.
Well, the fact is, what are they going to do once free agency comes? Because they still need another wide receiver. And I think most people are saying Hakeem Nicks might go. And I don't know if they're going to, you know, extend him a contract. They also need a running back because Jacobs is retired. So you need a bigger running back, just like you had when you had Amar Bradshaw and you had Jacobs. You had the small and you had the big running back. So you need that. Another thing is, like the lady said, she was right. The tight end position is very important. You know? Like, you remember when Eli had Kevin Boss and Jake Bowler and all the other tight ends?
Yep.
You know? I think that's very important. Now, the offensive line is a big deal because a lot of them are retired. So I don't know. Are they going to step it up? That's the problem with Eli. You know? Like, what is... can you say about it? Now, the defense is kind of suspect. I think they should keep Jason Berry that they picked up from North Carolina.
You mean John
Beeson? And I think they should keep Justin Tuck because I haven't seen numbers like that since he played in 08, in 07. I haven't seen numbers like that. So, like, it's been a while since he's looked healthy. So, like, if him and JPP are both healthy, I think the defensive line can really be a problem if they're both healthy.
Hey, look, to me, Antonio, you'll be fine next year. If you bring back Beeson, you bring back Tuck, you got Tuck, Hankins, Jenkins, and JPP in the front four and Beeson in the middle, I think you'll be fine up front.
Yes, but the secondary is suspect. You still have Antoine Roll as a safety, but you need some new cornerbacks.
Yep.
I don't know about Webster. He might be done, or this might be a season. Prince of Lucamama, like, you need to pick up a draft pick or something. The wide receiver, I think you should pick up somebody from the AFC and put them at that position. And then whoever you get from the draft pick that's a veteran, put them as another wide receiver and make Cruz in the slot. Because if not, like they said, he's not going to be the same like I've seen before. Because now a lot of teams are figuring out his game. He still had good numbers, but not like it was his 2 years there.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters what conference you get the wide receiver from, but you need somebody aside across the field from Cruz that'll make teams pay for covering a man-on-man and when they double Victor.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you need that. It's like the same thing when Pinion had Wes Walker, but he also had Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. And Wes Walker was that slight. The slot, you know, just like when he used to play with Brady. So it needs to be like that.
Sounds good, Antonio. You know? Thanks for the call, bud.
Take care.
Be good, man. And look, I think corner is a huge need in the offseason. I really do. Even if you bring back Terrell Thomas to play that slot spot, and he did a pretty good job at it this year, I thought. You know, you got to put somebody across some Prince. And is Tremaine McBride that guy? I don't know. I don't think he was good, but I don't know if he showed me enough to make me think that he's that good. Sorry. I don't think you can depend on that. I really don't. Everybody, great job on the phones. Great jobs on Twitter. Remember tomorrow, Pete DeMilitis from Pro Football Focus in studio the full hour. We'll talk about how they grade players. We'll take your calls as well with him at 201-939-4513. And we'll take your questions from him on Twitter as well at hashtag Giants Chat. We'll go an hour. If we go longer, we'll go longer if Pete has the time. And we'll have some fun with it. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time on the phones. And tomorrow, by the way, just be aware, we're going to go rapid fire through the calls so we get as many people on with Pete as possible, okay? So thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.